You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome to the Newcastle Natter. My name is Fergus Craig and I'm joined by Paul Doolan.
Hello.
And Dave Watson.
Hello, Fergus. Hello, Paul.
Dave, Hi. You survived. You survived from what many of us feared could be a terminal illness last week.
Honestly, it was less that I was bedridden and more that I don't think you... all the listeners would have enjoyed the noises coming out of my head.
That'll be no change, Dave.
lovely bit of humour.
Lovely bit of banter. I was just gross. I was just sniffing and coughing and sneezing and moaning. So,
okay. Nope. And
like a typical away crowd.
Was that all brought to an end by Newcastle United's first win in some time this weekend against Wolves?
Sure, yeah, let's say it was.
Let's say it was. That's me just trying to segue into it. It's exciting, isn't it, that we've actually... suddenly, everything seems to have changed again. A week ago, I was certain, not certain, but I think I was probably giving us a 20% chance of qualifying for Champions League. I was like, ah, it's all over. A month or so ago, I was like, well, we just don't concede goals. We're never going to concede a goal again. now we've just won a game. And I'm like, all right, I can't see us losing. I cannot see us losing. We're going to get Champions League.
I think you need to think more in terms of...
Yeah. Like not just think more.
Yeah. There was a bit of goldfish thinking when it comes to football, though, of like whatever's just happened. It's like, oh shit, we're amazing now. It's brilliant.
I think you said something on the WhatsApp where you were like, that you'd forgotten that we were actually quite good now. And we are a good side. And I think the last few results haven't really shown that, because I think, you know, the Man City, it's Man City, but we actually played quite well. The League Cup final, it's a cup final, but we played okay. We were just not, you know, we didn't have the quality or the strength and depth. Against Liverpool, it was a weird one because of the Pope sending off. Like, there's mitigating circumstances, and I don't think the performances, I don't think the results match the performances, but I think this one did.
Prior to kickoff, the key headline was that there were five changes in the side, most notably that the front three changed.
Yeah.
Suddenly it was Saint-Maximin, Isaac and Murphy. Were you pleased with that, Paul?
Yeah. I think more pleased once the game had started. You just saw, oh, there's a lot of direct pace and running up front, which there's a level of energy we'd been missing in the last couple of months, I would say. not just those front three, but Joe Willock being back as well. I think that was his best game in a Newcastle shirt for me. But yeah, Murphy, it shows we just had a different element. We had a right winger who wasn't just cutting into his left. We had a right winger who could actually... I hadn't realised how good a crosser of the ball Murphy is. And I think that front three selection worked very well.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Murphy like kept his place for a long time. I think Almiron's still a better footballer, and he came on and got the winner. But the thing that I like about having Murphy and St. Maximum on the pitch is that Murphy's a little more controlled, a little bit more tactically aware than St. Maximum, so you get that balance. Whereas if when you got Almiron on, he, like you were saying, he cuts inside, so you're not getting the pitch isn't being stretched as much as when you do when you got Murphy on. So I like that, but I'd expect Murphy to lose his place to Gordon, Isaac, or Almiron.
What you did get when Almiron came on, and Murphy, to be fair, just moved over to the left. But what you did get when Almiron came on was the relationship between Trippier and Almiron seemed to be rekindled. It looked a little bit more like how they were playing a few weeks ago.
Mm.
That's a really good relationship they've got, isn't it?
It's massively,
I think, as well. It was Trippier's best game in a long time, apart from that, apart from the brain fart that gave them their goal. I thought that was Trippier's best game in a long, long time.
He just lost his footing, didn't he? He just fell on his arse.
Yeah. But that wasn't the only like brain fart during the game, was it? I mean, I think that our performance overall deserved a win. We
should have been 3-0 up at half time, I would say.
But Nick Pope, how he wasn't sent off for that, I don't get it. I don't understand it.
No, I think the only way of making sense of what happened is it was a foul, but the Wolves striker, was it Jimenez?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
The way he goes down is by making a conscious effort to move towards Pope to then go down, where he didn't really need to. It looked such an artificial way of going down that you can see why from a distance the ref would think, okay, that isn't a penalty. But then VAR has to say, go and look at that again. I know this Howard Webb stuff of not trying to overrule the ref too much is fair enough, but I think when the ref's that far away and it's that clearly a foul, you have to send him to at least look at it and make the decision again.
Yeah.
I was impressed by how non-partisan Newcastle Twitter was. It seems to almost be unanimous. Yeah, that should be a red card and a penalty. But I wasn't so sure. I didn't think it was as clear cut as everyone else is making out, because I thought that the striker kind of just ran into him. I think he was looking to make the contact. I didn't think it was as clear cut as everyone said.
I don't know. They go for
clear and obvious, and I wonder whether it was clear and obvious.
I think whatever the ref gave wouldn't have been overturned. It was one of those ones. If he'd given the penalty and the red card, there's no way that would have been overturned.
Hmm. Yeah.
And if the same had happened against us, we'd be fuming.
Yeah. But then I don't think any Wolves fan who's being honest with themselves would say that. That despite that, they only won because they didn't have Pope sent off. I think we were far and above a better side. I mean,
yeah,
I think I shared with you that our XG was something like 1.76 or something, and theirs was like 0.06 at halftime. So they weren't causing us too many problems. I think Podence hit the bar or the woodwork one time, but that was it for them, really. I don't remember, the brain fart by Trippier, well, the slip by Trippier aside, I don't remember them really, really threatening our goal.
I don't know, it's a weird one. First half was as good as we've been all season, I would say. as in control as we've been. Second half, though, they had more possession in both halves, but it didn't really matter in the first half. Us having less possession was just a symptom of how quickly we were attacking and how direct we were being. Second half, they got control of the midfield, and it felt like that goal was coming in a way.
There was a good 15, 20 minutes where they were on top and it looked quite nervy. Yes, maybe there weren't a lot of chances, but they were. Mm. It definitely didn't look like we had the game in the bag. It looked like that it was heading one way and that wasn't in our favour.
Yeah, I think that was partly our forward line were becoming a little more tired. Like certainly Isaac and St. Maximum were just looking a little bit less impactful. And I think like subbing him when he did, I think it was the right thing to do because they looked tired. But the counterpoint to that is the players who came on didn't immediately hit the ground running. They took a while to get up to speed. And it was at that 15-minute period, like you were saying, where Wolves equalised. That's fine, we won.
It was such a freak goal as well. It sort of...
Yeah.
I feel like the substitutes kind of did work. It was just a delayed working.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That, I thought Almiron, when he got up to speed, was a real threat, and he proved it with a goal. Not sure about Wilson. He don't really remember him getting a touch, to be honest. I thought one player that we haven't really spoken about, who for a lot of people seems to be man of the match, was Joe Willock.
Oh, he was amazing.
Paul brought it up. I was going to... I think what we should do is have a quick break now, and then I think we should give Joe Willock his dues, and we should probably also talk about Alexander Isak and the game that we've got coming up on Friday night against Nottingham Forest. So we'll be back in a moment.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back to the Newcastle Natter. We're still talking about the Wolves game because it was the first fixture in a while, and that means it's quite enjoyable to talk about. There's a few different things to talk about. It's not the same old, same old. Isak got man of the match, but for many people, as has been mentioned in the first half, Joe Willock was the standout player. Paul, you brought him up. He was good, wasn't he?
Yeah, there was a level to him which I didn't think there was. You suddenly look at Joe Willock and think, oh, there's a much higher ceiling to his abilities than I thought. Like I've kind of thought of him and Sean Longstaff as being on the same kind of level and having the same limitations. But then you look at that performance from Willock, and without getting too carried away, he looks definitely like he's better than Jude Bellingham.
I just like that he offers a different option because, I mean, Joe Linton, Longstaff and Willock all ostensibly play a number eight role ahead of, two of them ahead of Bruno. And Joe Linton's all about the physicality, and he's really good on the defensive side of things and his energy and all the rest of it. Sean Longstaff, I think he's got a bit more passing ability than Joe Linton, and he certainly contributes defensively, and he is an intelligent footballer. But Joe Willock, and something about the way he carries the ball, something the way that he strikes the ball, he's more of a goal threat than the other two. he's just a different option. And I like having these different, like the different round pegs that can go in that round hole. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think as well, our right-hand side is the side that's always looked dangerous, where you've got Trippier and you've got Miggy. Suddenly that left-hand side, something about Willock and Maxi combining and with Isak in front of them, as soon as we get the ball deep, it's almost like a slingshot where it's just fling those three forward as fast as possible. And it's very hard for defences to cope with.
Willock's adds sparkling a different element. Willock's standout moment in the game, sparkling, I was going to say, was his assist for Almiron. That was very good. It was a very good piece of play. But he also, he's a runner, isn't he? I mean, that's what I see. He just seems to have so much energy.
Well, yeah. I mean, the goal that you're talking about is very reminiscent of the goals that Almiron was scoring in his purple patch, where it was Trippier, Bruno, and Almiron operating that triangle. But this with Willock I wouldn't expect to see that kind of pass from Joe Linton or from Longstaff, whereas Willock seems to be able to have that in his locker. And to touch on the pace thing, if we're coming up against a team that fancies a low block, that plays a low block, that deep line defence, it means that when they do counter, we've got options on the counter of their counter, if that makes sense.
Right. To be fair to Longstaff, he did start that move with a very nice forward pass to Almiron. Do you remember the moment at the end of the game, our little corner that looked like it was going to be a time-wasting corner?
Turned
into an incredible move, with an incredible back heel from Bruno, and then a chance from, what the fuck was he doing up there in injury time, Sven Botman?
I love that for so many reasons. One, it's obviously a clear, like a well-worked routine, but it's leaning into the perception of Newcastle United as a time-wasting team. So, because we have time waste, we do time waste. They didn't pack their box as they would do for a normal corner. We didn't commit too many men forward, so it looked like we were wasting time, and et cetera, et cetera. And honestly, if that falls to Botman on his left foot or somebody else on their favoured foot, that's a lovely like bow tie on the end of a performance, because that's a fucking brilliant routine. And there's videos that I've seen on Twitter where he's done it before. We did it against, Bournemouth.
I think Bournemouth did it against us, didn't they?
And how did it at Bournemouth? I think it's a really well-worked routine.
And we can't finish talking about Wolves. I think it would be very unfair to finish talking about Wolves without speaking about Isak. He's been pushing for a start for a long time. He finally got one. And it would be fair to say he took his chance, right, Paul?
Yeah, I think a lot of the talk about Isak has been, well, he's not really a number nine. If that's someone who's not really a number nine playing in that position, then fuck knows what a number nine's going to look like. He looked perfect. His stretching play. The goal, though, was the thing that surprised me, because I didn't think he was particularly supposed to be aerially that brilliant, but he has scored a few headed goals already. One that Wilson got the assist for before. But that was reminiscent of like Ferdinand, Shearer and Duncan Ferguson. That wasn't like the waif, like middle distance runner that he looks to be.
And it's the power that he got on there.
I was saying on the WhatsApp, you've gone for middle distance runner. I really think he looks like he's from Pro Evo in about 2005.
Yeah.
About his body shape. Maybe I've said this on the podcast before. I just think he looks like he's developed on a computer.
He is a bit slender man, isn't he?
He is. He's slender, but wiry, but just looks like he's on a computer. But anyway.
He's got that thing that Joe Willock's got of looking more like a runner than a footballer and looking like he's not in control of the ball when he is. And I think that's... Yeah. I welcome both.
Sure. But it was the way... not only was he stretching their back line, he was dropping into space and he was carrying the ball well. He was holding the ball up when the ball came to him. It was an all-round performance. It was fantastic. It was only pipped by Willock, in my opinion. I don't know. I just think Willock had a little bit more to his game. But, like, if he can get, like, 60, 70 minutes until he can play the full 90, then I can't wait to see him start getting a real on the field understanding with Bruno, with Alan St. Maximum.
It's got me very enthusiastic about the rest of the season, because before it felt like the season was maybe fizzling out.
Yeah.
And this was the first game where we've had that spine of Botman, Bruno, Isaac. You just think, if we have that from now till the end of the season, there's no reason we can't get Champions League.
It's just what we needed, wasn't it?
To
rekindle our interest in the season.
The other thing, just very quickly before we move on, is like his height is a massive threat at set pieces, because we've got him, who's like 6'4", Sven Botman, Dan Byrne, all these other. Also, did you realise that Bruno Guimaraes is 6 foot tall?
Jeez. It's not much for a footballer, I guess, though, is it? But yeah, he looks like he's just 5'10".
Yeah, it's just weird. Anyway, like, that was it.
I think having just mentioned him there, Dan Byrne, I think we all thought should have come out for Matt Target. I thought that was Byrne's best game in a long time as well. He linked up, I thought, pretty well with Maxi and made a lot of overlapping runs. He looked like a left back for the first time, but he still gave us that discipline to go three at the back so Trippier could go forward. I think when Trippier has a good game, Byrne looks better for it, I think.
And bear in mind who he was up against in Adama Traore.
Yeah, who got subbed at half time.
Yeah.
Adama Traore is the most.
Here we go.
The amount that Adama Traore has spoken about compared with the amount that he's ever actually done on a football field, there's such an imbalance between those two things. Even by reputation, he's like. It always talk like there's any game coming up. Like, well, he's going to be up against Adama Traore. Adama Traore is going to, well, Adama Traore is coming on. So look out. Oh, like, yes, he looks intimidating. Yes, he's pacey and he's had a few moments, but he's been in the Premier League for fucking years now. And people are still like going, oh, look out, Adama Traore.
Did did he go to Barcelona or was that a dream?
No, he went there. I think it was just a loan, but must have been because he's back at Wolves. But
that can't be a fun move.
People talk about him like, did that all go wrong there with the connection? Carry on.
No, I think you're right. Adama Traore does get talked about. In a way, it's not that dissimilar to St. Maximin in a way, where you just you hear so much about what's going to happen if they're on their day, and one out of every eight games they're on their day.
Yeah.
Sure. I was going to say that Matt Target, it'd be interesting to see whether we always knew Isaac was going to end up in the starting lineup. Because you don't buy a player for that much without the intention of them being in the starting lineup. I get the feeling that Eddie Howe, as he seems to do a lot, is just very slow about bringing players back into the side when they've been injured or whatever. I get the feeling that he envisions Matt Target being his left back, at least until the summer, once he's deemed him fit enough. But
don't know. I think he feels like Dan Byrne can do a job there, and Dan Byrne is more important to the team from a leadership point of view to have on the field. So I think Byrne's not starting there for his left-back prowess or his attacking skills, but I think he's in there for reasons for the way we set up. He's there tactically to allow us to go three at the back when Trippier wants to go forward, and he's there for what he brings to that group in a I think he's sort of him and Trippier are kind of and Bruno and maybe Joe Linton are that kind of core leadership group.
Mm.
Both Byrne and Target have both got very good sort of active surnames as well.
It's true. Byrne Target does sound like an action, a Steven Seagal film. than the 90s.
Do you remember in the 90s, sorry, it would be the 2000s, where we had a string of players where it was like Bellamy, Court, Dyer, Given, Genis, Speed. You could make a workable sentence out of the surnames of the players that we had.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Great days. Speaking about
fuck you.
No, I was just looking for a way to
move on.
To move on. It was very good. It was good. I just didn't have anything to add to it. Shoots on Twitter asks, as we are now entering the international break. All right, I see. He's making a play on the word break now that we're talking about wordplay. As we're now entering, it's a very loose connection. As we are now entering the international break, what has been your favourite injury to a professional footballer? I'd imagine someone's coming to a mind for you, Paul.
Well, it's a good question. It's nice to hear you insult the listener who asked it.
I didn't insult it. I just like read it again. I just actually understood why they've capitalised the word break, and I've understood.
When it comes to Newcastle injuries, there's only one man in my heart, and that's CM De Jong, who I still miss. But then choosing a favourite CM De Jong injury is like naming your favourite child. I love them all. I love the collapsed lung. I love the muscle problems. I love the freak eye injury that made him fear he was blind. I can't pick one.
Oh, my God.
Anyone come to...
Yeah, not a Newcastle player. Do you remember Darius Vassell?
Do I?
Yeah, he
had my life. Yeah,
he had a blood blister under his toe, right? So he got his Black and Decker drill, and he drilled a hole in his toenail to pop the blister.
Wow!
Wasn't an Italian player missed a World Cup from dropping a bottle of aftershave on his foot or something?
Yeah, David Besson once dropped a jar of mayonnaise on his toe, and he missed a long period of time. Didn't David James do something similar where he dropped a bottle of wine or something on his foot and broke
a metatarsal? David James give himself a mental injury from playing too much FIFA?
Oh, that was it, the thumb, wasn't it?
I think he kept seeing players when he was on the pitch.
Hang on, going back to Darius Vassell, did it work? It's obviously a radical method, but did it actually work?
Well, I mean, he did play after. Like, I don't think that was... as a Newcastle United, we have to be clear, don't try this at home. I can't remember it, like, him losing a toe or anything.
The story didn't go that he drilled all the way through.
Yeah. So I think it worked in so much as it drained the blood from under his nail.
Right. Well, there you go. You say don't try this at home, but it sounds...
No, I'm sorry.
Like, I think you're in that same situation. You probably should. It's what you should probably do.
I think if you have to follow the disclaimer, do not follow the home surgery example of Darius Vassell, then that disclaimer is too late for you. You've already got...
I would say... It sounds crazy, but then I haven't played, 40 times for England or whatever it was that Vassell did.
Yeah.
So, I say, if you're in the same situation, get down your local DIY, get it done.
Get your nearest... I will only take medical advice from Julian Joachim, if it's going to be an ex-Villa striker.
He was still playing for Villa at the time, which means there were medical staff
while he was drilling.
No, all he had to do was phone the club and say, I've got a blood blister under my toe. Can somebody sort it out? And somebody would have sorted it out for him.
Yeah, maybe in his head.
Because he wasn't a pampered footballer. He just got down and sorted it out himself.
He was thinking of a better phone call where he rings them and says, I had a problem. I've sorted it because I'm a grown-up. Also, can you ring an ambulance? I've drilled my toe.
Right, our next game is on Friday night. It's against Nottingham Forest. It's on Sky. It's away. Friday night game. This feels very Friday night match. I don't think I have.
This feels very 90s to me. Friday night Nottingham Forest.
Were there many Friday night games in the 90s?
I don't know. It's just there's something about Forest and a night game.
Sure.
Very 90s.
Yes. Is Steve Stone starting? That's the question.
Ian Wone.
Oh, God. If he's still hurts.
Yeah.
It's our... Well, that's, here's something to ponder on. The fact that just as it looks like we might be, you know, about to... this, we Wolves could have been a turning point and put us on another nice run of games. This is actually our last game before an international break, which is annoying. But Nottingham Forest, I can't work out how good or shit they are.
That's how good and shit they are. They are so inconsistent. They're really good at the City Ground, but they're turbo shit away from it. I don't know. I think it's tricky because I was looking at the results and they've lost, like, in the last three games, they've lost 3-1 away at Spurs. They drew 2-2 at the City Ground against Everton, and they lost 4-0 away at West Ham. So they are conceding quite a lot of goals, but then the last, you know, two of their last three fixtures are away from home, where I've already said that they're not very good away from home.
Before you predict, we could be facing Jonjo Shelvey, Jack Colback, and Chris Wood.
Yeah.
I think they've all been starting. And from what I've seen, Shelvey did his thing where he did a sort of quite impressive debut and showed the sort of the silkiness that he has as a footballer on occasion, which excites the fans. And then ever since then, he's sort of been giving away penalties and giving the ball away.
It's not a spine that scares you, really, is it? Shelvey, Colback, Wood.
It's not the quickest, is it? I mean, yeah, I think we'll beat them because they're inconsistent, and we, even if the results haven't been consistent lately, the performances kind of have. Like, we haven't been bad. We've just either been at the whim of Nick Pope losing his fucking shit or coming up against really good opposition. I mean, three of the last four have been Liverpool, Man U, Man City. And to come out of any of those games with anything would have been really good. So against Nottingham Forest, even at the City Ground, I'd still fancy us to beat them, because I just think we've got a better system, and I think we've got better man-for-man, better players.
Give us a score.
2-0.
Okay. Paul?
I think this is going to be very tight. My head says draw, but I think I'm going to go 2-1 win. I just think a defence that's as leaky as theirs up against Isaac. I think the more interesting thing for me is if Miggy starts or Murphy keeps his place. I personally think Murphy will keep his place.
I think it could go almost any way. I mean, I don't see us getting battered, but there are a lot of potential scorelines. But I'm going to go for 2-2 because Friday night at the City Ground, I think the crowd will be behind them. There'll be a lot of atmosphere. Is it Sam Johnson, that striker they've got?
Brennan Johnson. Who we keep getting linked with.
Sam Johnson. He looks like, you know, he's on a runner form and he looks a bit tasty.
Can I give you a bit of confidence?
Sure.
Yeah. So in terms of expected goals, there are only three teams with worse expected goals, which are Bournemouth, Everton and Wolves. In terms of expected goals against, there are only three teams that you'd expect to concede more, which is Fulham, Bournemouth and Everton. In terms of expected points, it's only one team who you'd expect to have fewer points, which is Bournemouth. So,
remind me, what is the table that we look at the end of the season? Is it the expected table, or is
here
it
he is, Mr. Talksport. Here he goes.
I'm telling you, Forest aren't that good.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That good. I don't think they're that good. I just think they have won some games. They've drawn some games. I think Friday night at the City Ground, I can see them making it a tight game thanks to a wave of atmosphere. You know,
I think the other thing with that atmosphere though is this: if we start at the speed we did against Wolves and we did at the start of the season, I think we can silence that crowd quite easily.
Yeah,
that is true.
If we're up for this game, I think we can win it comfortably.
They're only 2 points off the relegation place.
It feels like everyone's 2 points off relegation, like from like 10
genuinely from Wolves down. Everybody's in it
except us. Well, for once.
Yeah.
If they do manage to take points off the richest club in the world, then it will be a real Robin Hood story. Okay, thanks for joining us, guys.
Oh, fuck you.
We can't finish on that, can we?
We can't, no.
Good God. Sorry about that, everyone.
That was good.
That was good. Yeah, no, it was really good, actually.
That was good.
I've changed my mind. It was really good.
All right. Let me see if I can think of another.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, let's just hope that we don't get lost in Sherwood Forest.
I hope we Sherwood what we're all about. We Sherwood what we're all about. Sherwood.
Okay.
No, fuck you.
These jokes are not landing for me.
Knots landing?
Yeah. What? Not?
That's set in Nottingham.
No, but it's, come on.
What come the on. Fuck?
That's just.
What, Emmerdale? What are we doing here?
I can't think of anything else I relate with Nottingham except for the snooker player Anthony Hamilton, and I just think that's too niche.
And late 90s gun crime.
Let's end it there. Thank you very much, Dave Watson.
Bye, Fergus.
Thank you, Paul Doolin.
Thank you.
And thank you to you, the Newcastle Natter listener. Goodbye.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.